the intersection of Chicago Avenue and East 38th Street in Minneapolis was a landscape defined by the mundane details of a Monday evening in late May. The air was cooling as the sun began its descent, casting long shadows across the asphalt of a neighborhood convenience store parking lot. Blue sky filtered through the spring leaves of nearby trees, providing a stark contrast to the utilitarian gray of the city pavement and the brick facade of Cup Foods. There was the distant hum of traffic from the surrounding blocks, the occasional slamming of a car door, and the rhythmic sound of a city winding down its workday. Nothing about the atmosphere suggested that this specific patch of concrete was about to become the focal point of a global seismic shift in civil justice. The asphalt was worn, stained by years of oil leaks and rainwater, unremarkable in every physical sense. It was a stage set by routine city life, where the only immediate concern for most was the purchase of a pack of cigarettes or the transit home. This environment was captured by the cold, unblinking eyes of surveillance cameras and the steady hands of bystanders who sensed an unfolding anomaly. The metallic click of handcuffs and the heavy breathing of men in physical struggle were the first auditory cues that the evening's peace had been severed. This was the precise location where the life of a man would end under the weight of state authority, a moment documented with such digital clarity that it would eventually leave no room for ambiguity. This was the day we lost George Floyd. The chronological reconstruction of the events on May 25, 2020, began with a report of a counterfeit $20 bill. At approximately 8 o'clock in the evening, two employees from Cup Foods approached a blue SUV parked outside the establishment to confront the occupants about the currency used to purchase cigarettes. When the encounter did not result in the return of the merchandise, a 911 call was placed at 8:01 p.m., describing a man who appeared to be under the influence and was sitting on the hood of his car. Minneapolis police officers Thomas Lane and Alexander Quang arrived on the scene at 8:08 p.m., parking their squad car behind the SUV. Officer Lane immediately drew his service weapon and directed George Floyd to place his hands on the steering wheel, a command that initiated a period of high physical tension. Floyd was removed from the vehicle and handcuffed behind his back, then walked toward the sidewalk where he was seated against a wall for questioning. The officers informed him he was being detained for passing counterfeit currency, though the investigation would later show that Floyd appeared distressed and confused by the rapid escalation. At 8:14 p.m., the officers attempted to move Floyd across the street to their squad car, a process that met with significant physical resistance, as Floyd explained he suffered from claustrophobia and anxiety. It was at this juncture that officers Derek Chauvin and T.O.U. Thao arrived in a separate vehicle to provide assistance. The struggle to place Floyd in the back of the police cruiser resulted in him falling out the opposite door and onto the pavement. At 8:19 p.m., Derek Chauvin moved to restrain Floyd on the ground, placing his left knee on Floyd's neck while the other officers held his torso and legs. The forensic and digital evidence gathered during the 9 minutes and 29 seconds that followed formed the core of the criminal investigation. This period was captured from multiple angles, including police body-worn cameras, fixed city surveillance, and the high-definition mobile phone video recorded by a 17-year-old bystander. The footage from Officer Lane's camera showed the initial contact and the escalating panic in Floyd's voice as he was handled by the officers. However, it was the bystander video that provided the most continuous and unobstructed view of the restraint technique utilized by Derek Chauvin. In the recording, Floyd is seen pinned to the asphalt, his face pressed against the road surface near the rear tire of the squad car. He repeatedly stated that he could not breathe, a phrase he uttered over 20 times during the encounter. The audio captured the increasingly desperate tone of his voice as he called out for his mother and complained of pain in his neck, back, and stomach. Bystanders are heard on the tape shouting at the officers to check Floyd's pulse and to move the knee, noting that he appeared to be losing consciousness. At 8:24 p.m., Floyd stopped speaking and moving, yet the pressure from Chauvin's knee remained constant. The body camera footage from Officer Quang confirmed that he checked for a pulse at 8:25 p.m. and stated he could not find one, yet no officer shifted their position or attempted life-saving measures. Even after an ambulance arrived at 8:27 p.m., Chauvin maintained his position for nearly a full minute while paramedics prepared a stretcher. The medical examiner's report later classified the death as a homicide, citing cardiopulmonary arrest complicated by law enforcement subdual, restraint, and neck compression. The legal fallout and finality of the case were as unprecedented as the evidence that sparked them. Derek Chauvin was arrested on May 29, 2020, and initially charged with third-degree murder and second-degree manslaughter, though the charges were later elevated to include second-degree unintentional murder. The trial began in March 2021 in Hennepin County, where the prosecution presented the video evidence as the primary witness to the use of excessive force. On April 20, 2021, the jury returned a verdict of guilty on all three counts, marking a rare instance of a police officer being convicted for the death of a civilian in the line of duty. In June of that year, Chauvin was sentenced to 22 and a half years in prison, a sentence that was later supplemented by a 21-year federal sentence for violating Floyd's civil rights. The three other officers involved, Thomas Lane, Alexander Quing, and T.O.U. Thao, also faced legal consequences in both state and federal courts. Thomas Lane pleaded guilty to a state charge of aiding and abetting second-degree manslaughter and was sentenced to 3 years. Alexander Quing and T.O.U. Thao were convicted in federal court for failing to provide medical aid and were later sentenced in state court for aiding and abetting manslaughter, receiving sentences of 3.5 years and 4 years and 9 months respectively. These legal outcomes concluded the formal judicial proceedings directly tied to the events of May 25th. The site of the encounter was eventually transformed into a memorial space, and the Minneapolis Police Department underwent a series of court-mandated reforms under a consent decree with the Department of Justice. The investigation into the death of George Floyd remains one of the most thoroughly documented and scrutinized applications of force in the history of American law enforcement, ending with the incarceration of all four primary participants.